Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I hope you've had a chance to just enjoy a wonderful holiday weekend. But now we're getting ready to, well, pay attention to something that's, for so many of us, is so vitally important. And what is that? Websites. There are very few people in today's world that are not wanting to know, one, can they have their own website? Two, how in the world are they going to put it together? And three, in today's world of internet purchasing, which is really big time, how do you set yourself up so that you can be effective with your marketing and being able to do what you want to do so it represents you in the best way? Well, I have two dynamic women with me today. They've put together a publication called Six Steps to Convert Visitors In to Buyers, Every Small Business Owner's Guide to Selling Online. My guests are Wendy Ogrzek and June Bachman. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Donna, for having us.
We're happy to be here.
Well, I'll tell you, I was so impressed with your publication because you were very, very direct in what you said, very, very clear, and it was, I thought, wow, these two gals really put something together that just about anybody would be interested in if they have a website. June, you are a person that's been involved in the entrepreneurial area for a while, and you were the former chief technology officer. For what company were you the chief technology officer?
The company was called Lion Inc. It's since been absorbed into other companies, but basically they were specialized in mortgage websites. So I was responsible for about 10,000 mortgage broker and banking type websites.
Holy Moses.
Exactly, quite a lot, but it certainly helped me learn quite a bit about how to make the internet be a really great tool for small businesses.
Now, you have consistently, since you decided to go in to business with Wendy, and you know, you've developed something that I think is outstanding here. You have been very much involved in small businesses, and you've gotten involved in marketing. Now, Wendy, you founded the internet family-owned web design Be Wise 5 years ago. What in the world, Wendy, made you decide to do this? Your skill apparently is in marketing, and you like doing website design and doing all kinds of things, and you like them cost-effective. Why did you decide to go into a business for yourself?
Actually, it's kind of the other way around. June, being the chief technology officer for Lion, realized that she had, you know, made a lot of stockholders a lot of money, figured she could do it on her own.
Uh-huh.
And so she started the business, and I'm actually her younger sister, and I was not working at the time when she started the business, and she said, hey, come up and keep me company. I'm going to start this business. And I showed up the first day and never went home.
Wow.
And so basically just working side by side, and this is our seventh year of business, and just going strong, and didn't know when we started that I have a knack for marketing. And so June really helped me find that niche in myself and be able to cultivate my creativity and supports me in that. So together we just made, you know, an undefeatable team.
Now, Teresa Mitchell is also part of your team.
That is correct.
Now, what is Teresa's specialty?
Man, she's our inspiration for a lot of things. She's our virtual assistant. She's over in Yakima, and she's been a family friend for many, many years. But her writing and editing skills are phenomenal and just a great source of inspiration. She helps on day-to-day tasks and supports our clients and supports June and I in running the business. So couldn't do it without her.
Wow. Well, let's get down to business because you gals are all about business.
All about business.
All about business. And again, I want to let my listeners know that I really respect and appreciated the way you presented your information and the clarity.
Thank you.
That you presented it with, because if anyone listening is sort of like me, their schedules are so busy and the last thing that they need is a bunch of technical jargon. That, I mean, it's just like, okay, that's wonderful. You've talked to me for 30 minutes. My brain is totally dead. Now
yeah.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
And you, right in the very beginning of your book, you say you will get out of your website exactly what you put into it. What is one of the biggest challenges that you have when you are first meeting someone who has a business, maybe they've got a product line? What's the first very big challenge that you have with them?
I'll take this one, June. I think the biggest thing that I notice with small businesses is they've got a great product or service, and they know that product and service very, very well. However, they might not have any clue who their actual niche market is.
Ah.
And so actually helping that small business define who is their niche market. Like for us, Be Wise, I could say, well, anybody who has a business is my niche market. I can sell a website to anybody who owns a business, which is true. However, it's not actually my true niche market. My true niche market, I can sell a website to anybody, but what I'm looking for is somebody between the ages of probably, I would say, 28 to 45 years old. They're usually female owned businesses, and they are usually between 1 and, I would say, 7 to 10 employees. That's my niche market. So really helping that small business figure out who is their clear defined niche market, and then helping them find where that niche market is on the internet. And that's where a lot of the internet marketing comes in, you know. And so I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges with helping small businesses.
All right. Let's go into, and you've broken this down into some very, very specific areas. Your table of contents, if you're ready to go. We're going to go into a little bit of website design. Knowing your niche, you've just brought that up.
Right.
Driving traffic to the website, the database, get visitors to opt in, market and remarket, and putting it all together.
Right.
So let's talk about the design, because one of the things that drives me bats is when I go into a website, and of course maybe it's just me, you know, being a person, I just don't have a lot of time to go cruising and bruising through websites. And so lots of times I'll go in and I feel like I've got a labyrinth I have to go through. It's just not clear. You say you want to be very objective about your website and that you want to send a consistent message, restrain the design, which I think is important, and be contemporary. Let's go into a few of those details, and let's cover some of that.
Okay. So with the design, I think one of the most important things nowadays, it might not have been a while ago, but right now, is what they're calling Web 2.0. And I don't know that June specifically talked about Web 2.0 in the design part of the book, but what it's talking about is, like you're saying, a cleaner design, not as much design, more white space, super, super clear navigation. We put the kind of a list here, the softer colors, rounded corners instead of square, not as much flash, because nowadays it's kind of more important to have video on your website than it is to have flash. So you still get the movement, those kinds of things. Global icons, center access page layout. And draw the biggest, I think the most important thing is to draw the user's eye so to the center of the page. So you really want your message to be what the user sees, not the pretty design. The pretty design is great and you need to have it. However, don't have it take away from your message.
To kind of sum up what Wendy is saying, in general, the more professional and welcoming you can make your site, it's going to be the absolute first step where trust has started to be created between you and your website visitor.
Now, that's a big word, trust. And
yeah.
When you say that, I don't know that that would be in the mind of many people, but that is like creating a brand. What
Absolutely.
Is it that you're, what are you putting out there? What does your photo look like? And if you have 10,000 gazillion things, at least this is for me, it's, I don't know how to get from point A to point Z sometimes, and it's not because I'm stupid. it's, again, it's a time factor. I mean, so many of us have got so much on our plates to do, to spend a whole bunch of time trying to get from point A to point B. It can be frustrating.
Yeah.
And that does kind of step into, like, the other part of the whole design, and that's taking the navigation into consideration. How can you make that experience that the user's going to have be almost so simple they don't have to think about it when they arrive at your web page? They get there. It's so clear where they want to go. You're using language that speaks to them. You're talking about what you have to offer in the way of information, products, and services. From a problem standpoint, they're going to recognize it because they're talking about me, and then they're going to immediately know what to do next because you're going to have a strong call to action with a button that takes them on to that next step. The more that you can kind of take that thinking out of it for them and make that experience completely seamless, the easier their experience is going to be in doing what ultimately you want them to do, which potentially is probably make a purchase.
Okay, now you talk about dynamic menus. Now,
correct.
There are those, they're called by many people drop-down menus.
Same thing, I found
it interesting that you are not all that excited about drop-down menus because you may have to utilize what they call search engine spiders or accessibility systems.
Yeah, there's two reasons why. We will do them. There's other ways you can accomplish the dynamic menu feel without actually doing a dynamic menu.
Mm-hmm.
And what a dynamic menu is, when you put your mouse over, say, the About Us page, a whole bunch of other links will come off to the side. And a lot of times those are done with images, so the search engines can't read them, so they won't even be able to index any of those pages of your website. So you're losing the search engine optimization accessibility from that standpoint. Also, we're very conscious about when we build our websites that they are accessible for the blind. You'd be surprised how many handicapped or disabled people have tools to be able to search the Internet and research things online and go use the Internet, and those tools can only read code a certain way. So you have to write your code in a way that they would be able to go from page to page. They also are unable at this time to be able to go to the dynamic menus. And so they may miss a whole bunch of pages of your website by, you know, not being able to access them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. That's good information.
Right.
Scrolling. There have been some sites I've gone to, and I know many of my listeners are going to say the same thing, that they feel like they scroll down and they go, oh, down and down and down and down and down and down and down.
Yeah.
And that is, how do you determine how much you should put on a page? Because scrolling is something sometimes you have to do, but you're very particular about this, and explain why.
Oh, you take it. Well, it's above the fold. So basically what we're saying is, like in a newspaper, when they write their headlines, it's always above the fold of the newspaper.
Okay.
And that's kind of like the philosophy of where the Internet's going as well, is so when you're building your website and you're looking at it on your monitor, you want to make sure that all of your pertinent information is above the fold. Now, like you said, there's times when you have to scroll. It's just you can't get around it,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine. But it's putting the content on the page in a way that the user gets the most important information above the fold. If they scroll, it's, you know, they can scroll if they want to. Another key thing to keep in mind about that is, I would probably put no less than 1,000 words on a page, especially if search engine optimization is your goal. And see, that's one of the things, too, when you step back. June and I, when we meet with people, there's always a free consultation. We sit down and chat because the first thing we want to know is, what are your goals for the website? It might not be to be first on Google. It might be just to increase your sales. Well, we can do that many different ways. You don't have to be first on Google to increase sales on your website. So search engine optimization might not be your goal. So it really takes into consideration, what are your goals? If search engine optimization is a goal, then I would not have less than 1,000 words on each page. Even if they need to scroll, I would still have that information on that page.
All right. And you mentioned also that contact information should be on every single web page.
I think so.
That's a phone number, fax number, mailing address, physical address, and email address.
Yep.
And someone might say, well, isn't that being a little repetitious? I mean, you're doing that on every page. I've been on a number of websites where I would not have had access to that information until I went through the whole process of going through whatever company information or whatever. And
right.
Many times you have a difficult time finding a contact number sometimes.
Yeah, and I think it's important. My biggest philosophy is don't make the user think. Don't make them think. Don't make them look for that information. Make it available to them. They're going to pick up the phone if it's easy and available for them.
Expanding on what Wendy's saying is there's two primary reasons. First of all, I do agree with you that some people will think it's redundant, and certainly it could be considered that since it's on every page. But it's on every page for not only the individual user who is visiting your website, but also the search engines. None of us know which web page the user or the search engine is going to find. And we don't care what page they find. We want to make sure that regardless of the page they find, that contact information is there. So it's really easy for them to pick up a phone or shoot an email, the user who's visiting, as well as that search engine. Search engines are collecting that information and using it in their local search results. So it's really important, I think, for those two reasons.
Now, that's very, very important. You also said gather feedback from the visitors. And I thought, wow, okay, to do this, what is it we're going to need? A lot of people just put up a website, and they're not all that concerned. They're busy people. They're not all that concerned about feedback. Tell us a little bit about your suggestions regarding that.
There's nobody better to get feedback about how well your site is or isn't working than from the people who are visiting it. And I'll preface that, especially if you're selling something online. There's a great tool. It's www.4q.com, and it's basically four questions. It's a free service. You create an account, and anybody who you can put the little quiz up for when they leave the site. That you can say, did you find what you were looking for? If so, great. If not, why not? And that will give you some incredible feedback on why people are making purchases from you or, for whatever reason, may not. You might get, who knows the feedback, pricing feedback, it's too high, or I didn't find the product I was looking for. That feedback can be invaluable for helping you make business decisions with regards to, like we said, pricing or product inventory, so on and so forth. And it also engages you and the interactivity opportunity between you and your visitor. And that, again, extends the trust, builds loyalty. People are like, hey, they care what I think, even more so if they take that information and do something with it and implement it into your business decisions.
You've got, especially for those who are listening that may have products or services, you say shorten checkout completion steps. And also sending an email confirmation. Boy, people really like that. And, of course,
yeah.
There's still some individuals that may not have computers, but that is really a plus. And all of this can be set up very, very readily within the entire system.
Right, correct.
All right. So let's get into copy and content. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking about how to convert your website into something that's going to be attracting more buyers. And my guests are Wendy Ogrzek and June Bachman here in the Pacific Northwest. All right, copy and content. You've already discussed how there should be at least 1,000 words on a page, but sometimes a page is going to have different points of information. And you want to, like you said, repeat certain information on your page over and over again, especially for contact clarity. Let's
right.
address the clarity, testimonials, product images. Let's go into a little bit of that.
Okay.
Basically, when you're working on your content, you want to 100% be in the mindset of the person, your reader, your user, the website visitor. You want the content to be very, very easy to read quickly. Wendy often says in her speaking engagement, she's like, forget everything you learned in English class. It, you cannot write for the web the way you were taught to write in school. It's far more similar to the way a journalist writes, where you always want to showcase or main, focus on your main point first. It's like, what's the conclusion? That is your headline. And then from there, use bullet points to further explain what you need to explain. Every single web page must have a call to action. Your user does not know what you want them to do on that website unless you tell them. We've visited lots and lots of websites that when you go to the web page, sometimes it's unclear what the business is even offering, and it might be exactly what I need, but if I as a user can't figure that out quickly and swiftly, I am off that site and on to a competitor. Having that call to action, you know, saying if you want them to read more or buy now or, click here for more information, making those calls to action very, very clear, big bullets standing out. Testimonials are a wonderful, wonderful thing to include on your web page. And we've seen different web designers do it different ways. Some build a whole page. What we found is breaking those testimonials up, and instead of doing a whole page dedicated that a user may or may not go to, include those testimonials on those pages where you're asking people to do things. If I see as a user somebody has had a great experience with you purchasing the thing that I need, it's going to increase the likelihood that I'm going to trust their experience and then act on that call to action and hit that buy now button. Some specific things that come to mind that are helpful are making it easy for the user to find additional information. A lot of people, more and more people, are going to the web to do research prior to making their purchases. So maybe on that first visit, they're not quite ready to buy from you, but they definitely want to know more. So facts pages, the frequently asked questions pages that offer all those questions that you know your customers have, get them answered on that page before they have to ask the question. Additionally, updating information. If you send out e-newsletters, have a place for your e-newsletter archive so that people can kind of see the history if they want to explore that. Of course, Wendy and I are absolute humongous proponents of blogging, that we truly believe that a blog is a foundation of your whole community building agenda.
All right, let's just stop there for a minute.
Okay,
Let's go into the blog.
Okay.
There are a lot of people excited about it, and other people will say, good Lord, how can I add this? What in the world are you talking about? Why am I going to add this to what I've already got to do?
Wendy, do you want
to? Why do you need it? You need it because the way to build trust is building a community, and the way to build community right now is social media, and it's one of the hottest things on the Internet. It does a couple of things. One, the search engines are looking for it. They're looking for the changes to your website on a consistent and regular basis. It gives a reason for your users and visitors to come back to your website, giving away free tips or ideas or throwing questions out there for people to think about. These are all reasons. It goes back to the 7-10 rule as well. You know, somebody does not buy from you the first time. They buy from you after being around you and having that trust and that relationship being built, 7-10 rule. Well, if you can do that by having your blog, that's the best way to be able to create that relationship and earn that trust.
I will add, I was just talking with a client today about her purchase of a blog, and she's like, please tell me I don't have to blog 3 times a week. And it's true, you don't. Given that 3 times a week is the optimum what the search engines like, but more importantly is your consistency. If you can only make a commitment to blog once a month and blog once a month, the search engines will remember that you are blogging once a month and they'll come to visit at that time period. Likewise will your users, so they'll know, I just need to look forward to that blog in a month. It's far more important to be consistent and hit that date that you said you would than it is to just blog and blog and blog and blog and blog.
Very good point. Well, for those of you who are like me that say, oh, my Lord, something else I got to add to the to-do list? Oh, no. So once a month is okay.
Absolutely,
Now, let's go back to something, Wendy, that you brought up, and that is focusing on the niche that we need to be in. Let's get down to some real brass tacks with that. What kinds of questions should we ask ourselves? How are we going to determine what our niche is?
That's a good question. That's in our book, the entire book.
We're not going to have time to cover all of it. In fact, you've only got about 2 minutes to
get
that.
But I think the most important thing are, once you see, like, who are your customers? And then when you ask that question, like, when I say to myself, be wise, who's my customer? Well, it's anybody who has a business.
Mm-hmm.
Take it deeper than that. Keep asking the same question again and again. Okay, so somebody who has a business, well, is it any business? Well, it can be any business. And then that's how we ended up figuring out, well, we really think that they're, you know, female-owned businesses, you know, of this age group. I have a list of them. I don't know, June, where your list is. It's not in here. One of the other big questions is, what is the demographics of your niche?
Mm-hmm.
That always helps, too, maybe help define it. One of the things is maybe you're selling kids' items, you know, and your demographic is young kids or parents of those kids. So it's digging really, really deep to figure out exactly who that niche market is.
Well, and then with that, you bring up something, not only with that, and of course we have limited time here, but linking.
Yes, and link popularity.
Oh, and you say your goal is to seek high-quality links.
Absolutely.
Right. If you know, I'll get requests from all kinds of people regarding links, and I'll just go, gee whiz, is this really what I want?
Right.
And so you have to be able to do some homework on this. How does someone determine the quality of the link?
I would first of all go check out their website. It's going to be a couple of things. One, is it in the same industry or relatable industry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be the first thing that I would check. So if it's selling tennis shoes, you're certainly not going to link to a dog food page. Even though it's your best friend, they're not relatable. Does that make sense? The industries aren't relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first thing that I would check. The other thing I would check is I would check the quality of the website. So say you do sell tennis shoes, right? And say somebody who wants to link to you sells shoelaces, okay? Totally in the same industry. You guys totally can cross-link. But if you have a professionally designed and built website and your ranking is fairly decent and you go to this website and it's not up to your standards, you might want to think about not linking to them because it's the quality. If you link to somebody who has a lower ranking than you do, it can bring your ranking down in search engine optimization.
Interesting.
Yeah, so search engine optimization, there's 100 variables and different algorithms that we have to kind of watch and abide by, you know, as web designers to make sure we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's to get those people placed high as we can under what search term. But link popularity is extremely important. So, I mean, it's good to have it, but you also need to watch the quality of who you're linking to.
Well, as you can tell, these ladies really know their stuff. The book is outstanding.
Thank you. It is, again,
6 Steps to Convert Visitors into Buyers, Every Small Business Owner's Guide to Selling Online. I don't care who you are. If you want to become more savvy, this book is really a wonderful education, trust me. And you can go to their website, which is bewise.com, and that's the small letter B, a big letter W, YSE.com. And they also have an email, info@bewise.com. Ladies, I just am so delighted to have had you as a guest, and your book is just so packed with so much good information.
Thank you.
Again,
your
website is bewise.com, BWYSE.com. They've got a blog. They've got all kinds of good information there. Check this book out and order it because this is something, the way technology changes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get dizzy and I just throw up my hands and say, oh, fiddle-dee-dee, I just don't have time for all of this stuff. These ladies have really put it together in a concise, clear, understandable way. June and Wendy, thank you so much for being my guest today, and I know you're going to be successful with this book.
And Donna, thank you so very much.
Have a great day. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't forget, 6 Steps to Convert Visitors into Buyers. bewise.com. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. Here is my direct number that you can call in to. It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, this is worldwide. No matter where you are, you can call in and chat. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. It's that simple. 888-815-9756. Well, this past holiday weekend, I ended up doing something I had no plans on doing originally, and that was a public appearance at a small 4th of July parade that ended up, well, causing me to interact with a number of people, and it was just delightful. It was a community activity, and I was able to visit with friends and take care of business all at the same time. But boy, was it hot here. Holy Moses. And now everybody's walking around with a sweater because we've gone from 80-some-odd degrees down to 59. So we are sort of in a weather shock at the moment, but here in the Pacific Northwest, this is not abnormal. This is the way it is. But wherever you are, I hope the sun is shining and you are enjoying yourselves immensely and that you had a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Well, I've got a little bit of tidbits here for gardening because I know that I was involved in planning some things, and so I came across some tidbits from a wonderful, wonderful gentleman in England, and I'm going to share those with you. Also, I have got a wonderful, wonderful recipe that I want to share for fresh vegetables. You know, we have so many delicious ones out there that we can pick up. They're often locally grown, and it's just, the flavor is just fabulous. A little bit of science, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And also, those telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Now, quickly, I do want to mention, tomorrow, we're going to be talking with a young man by the name of Brett Salisbury. We're going to be talking about a diet. And even though diets are not my favorite topic of conversation, in fact, I think if it were rated on a 1 to a 10, 1 being top, I think it'd be down at a 10. Diets are not something interesting to me, but this particular publication grabbed my attention because it is eliminating dairy, it's eliminating gluten, and it is also eliminating sugar. And I thought, okay, these are pretty specific things. Let's check it out. So I think you'll find it interesting. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with a delightful man, Paul Rademacher, Spiritual Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. Now, this is his personal story, his personal journey, and just a wonderful, wonderful man. In fact, he's the director of the Monroe Institute back in Virginia. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about wedding reception perfection. Yes, lots of good tips in here. Anytime you have to take care of a large group of people, whether it's a big party at your home or you're doing a wedding, these tips really will come in handy. And then Dr. Janine Talty is going to be my guest this week on Friday. We're going to talk about Indigo Awakening. And this really means a lot to me because I have been encountering so many people as adults. We've all heard stories about indigo children. Well, there's a lot of adults that are suddenly discovering that their intuitive capacities are really expanding and exploding. And they are saying, what do I do with it? Well, we're going to be talking about that on Friday. So we've got a wonderful lineup of people, and I welcome you to join us. Tell your friends that they can always listen to the Donna Sebo Show, and you never know what you're going to learn. There's always going to be something new for you. Well, let's talk about some gardening tips for a minute, because if you're like so many of us in the Pacific Northwest, you're out there digging stuff up, you are planting plants. This is just a fabulous time of the year, and we've had this awesome, awesome weather here in the Pacific Northwest. Everybody has a smile on their face, especially if they're gardeners, because everything from tomatoes to whatever your favorite plant is just growing by leaps and bounds. Why? Because we've had a lot of sunshine. Not a heck of a lot of rain recently, but that sun has been beaming and the plants just love it. Well, if you've got any old leather shoes, here's a tip for you if you're a gardener. Don't give them away. Don't throw them away. Unrealized by many of us, leather is full of nutrients. And if you have old leather shoes, strip off any of the rubber soles, anything that's plastic, you know, like hooks or eyes, buckles, etc., and take the leather itself and just bury it in the ground. It'll rot. Now, of course, this is going to take some time. Now, it's irritating, of course, if you bring them to the surface when you're forking a border and trying to loosen up soil, and you just might want to save those leather shoes. Remember, removing all the plastic from them for the bottom of a hole when you're planting a new tree or a large shrub, because you're not going to be digging them up by accident. In fact, there is apparently information that goes way, way back that old shoes were particularly recommended as a food for peach trees. Fascinating bit of trivia there. And then also what I wanted to share with those of you that might be in drought environments, and there are many parts of the country that are experiencing these conditions. When you have, for example, a raised bed where you are growing a lot of different items, and I think they're just wonderful, what you want to do if there is a real long dry spell, you want to make sure that you water the right way. What you want to do is have a daily 5-minute soaking. 5 minutes soaking for every plant in your garden. That you may want to, you may find that that's not doing exactly what you want. It's not penetrating as much as you like. I know in our yard, when we water, it has sometimes been amazing to us that we'll go and we'll dig down and we'll find maybe an inch below the wet soil, it's dry as a bone. The water is not going down. So this, you just need to remember that you want to have your watering really thorough enough so that the roots are going to go down. You don't want the roots of your plants to come up to the surface because that makes them vulnerable. they'll shrivel up and they'll die. So they don't need a lot of watering from above. They need to be driving the roots down towards the water table below. So one real thorough watering once a week in a dry spell will do the trick. So you might want to do something. I thought this was a great idea. You might, if you have a good-sized garden, you might want to divide it into 7 zones, and in the evening give each zone a good thorough watering for 30 minutes. And that'll give the water a chance to sink right down to the bottom of the roots. And that'll be another tip. We've got a caller. Let's take this caller. And for those of you that have clay soil, then I will be sharing a little tidbit there. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. How are you, Donna?
I'm doing magnificently. What's your first name or initial, and where are you calling in from, dear?
I'm calling from Ohio.
Okay, now your voice is cutting out. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, dear. Give me your first initial one more time and the city in Ohio or the general area in Ohio.
Okay, my first initial is A, and I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, great. I want to say first thing right off the bat, A, that you have to be very careful to stay focused and to stay on track with what your objectives are. I don't care if it's a diet, if it's getting a master's degree, if it is going to Europe, I don't care what the objective is. You must stay focused because you've got so many people around you. And I'm seeing in particular a man who it's like he wants to be catered to, or there's something here where he's like a child. He wants your attention all the time. And it's so easy to get distracted, and then all of a sudden your time's gone by, you're not meeting your commitments, your deadlines, and you're feeling like you're caught between a rock and a hard spot. You don't need to go there. That is not a good idea. So what I want you to do, I want you to be sure that you keep your focus and you must make that commitment. You've been sidetracked too many times. It's like I'm seeing in my mind a railroad car that's been dropped off on a side track. And if you get off track, you're going to just be sitting in a zone that you don't want to be in and you're never going to get back on. So it's going to be up to you to keep your focus. Also, I think you need an eye exam. I'm looking at a dizziness that I'm seeing you experiencing, especially if, and it's not real serious, but it's odd. And I think it's because of eye strain. So if you're going to be working on a computer or doing a lot of close work of any kind, you might want to go in and have your eyes checked and maybe have a specific pair of glasses that you wear when you're doing close work so that you won't cause the agitation to the eyes. Do you have a question for me? And speak slowly because your cell phone is cutting out. Okay, I cannot hear you. I cannot hear you. A, if you're there and you want to ask a question, I think you're having problems with the signal in your area. So just give us another call. Call back in, which, by the way, if you want to call in, just like A did, and chat with me, call in to 888-815-9756. Now, that's a toll-free number. It's worldwide, and anybody can call in. And just A, if you want to call in and ask your question, feel free to do that. 888-815-9756. Now, Duncan, when he gives out these tips, he said, if you're like me and you live in an area where your soil has a very heavy clay amount in it, you might want to be alert to breaking up the surface with a hoe or a fork on a regular basis, especially in dry weather. Because what happens is that it enables, you know, it will act like a mulch, and it will, when you water, then it's going to retain moisture. He said if you just let it crack from the heat, then it sets off an underground reaction that causes so much shifting in how the moisture is going to be handled by the soil. In fact, it actually caused the moisture to be drawn up to the surface and evaporate. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you break up your surface, and you want to have it act like a mulch. So anyway, It is so very important. And Margaret Waterfield said, more and more I'm coming to the conclusion that rain is far more important as a consideration to a gardener than sun, and that one of the lesser advantages that a gardener gains in life is his or her thorough enjoyment of a rainy day. And isn't that the truth, especially if any of us have experienced drought, which we have. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with the type of plants that you use as well. So just a few things to share with you regarding gardening. Oh, and I've got this wonderful, yummy recipe, eggplant roulades. Oh, so good, so light and easy on the waistline, but delicious on the lips. Mmm, great stuff. So get that pad of paper and pen, and when we come back, I'll give you this super-duper recipe. It'll be a hit with anybody that you serve it to. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. We're coming right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I'm chuckling because while we were on break, our engineer, Seth, he and his family were up here in the Pacific Northwest, and I was not aware of it, but there was something called the Zombie Walk that was going on, and this was on the 3rd of July, which was last Friday. And so he and his baby son and his wife participated in this, and they were trying to break a Guinness World Record. And Seth is going to check on some information to see if the group actually did. They had a makeup table there, and for a $5 donation, they were raising funds for something, and Seth said he doesn't remember what it was, but for a $5 donation, then everybody got to have their face made up so that they'd look like a zombie. And this zombie walk, it was just shy of 4,000 people that participated of all ages, and they all looked like zombies. What a fun thing to do. So anyway, once we get more information on that, I know that's just absolutely just going to make your day, finding out about a zombie walk, but I thought it was funny. I thought, this is really something. So who knows, maybe they actually broke the Guinness World Record for the zombie grouping. But anyhow, that's what I was laughing about when we came back on air. Okay, eggplant roulades. Oh, this, I don't know about you, but during the summer, there's so many delicious fresh vegetables. And where I am here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a lot of local farmers that really make their produce available, and the flavors are just incredible. So this is something that if you are a vegetable lover like I am, I think you'll find that this is really going to be great. And if you have vegetarian friends, this is something you can serve, and anybody's going to enjoy it. This is what you need. You need one eggplant, and it should be firm. You don't want it bruised or where it's sort of limpy. You want a good firm eggplant, a half a cup of olive oil, one small onion, a half a bulb of fennel, one red pepper, one yellow squash, one zucchini, one tablespoon of garlic, and you want to mince that up very finely, one tablespoon of capers. And then you want some chili flakes. And, of course, that's all according to your own taste, you know, however much you want to use. You're going to need a half a cup of chopped basil. And fresh in this would be optimum, but if not, use your dried. And then you need a quarter cup of white wine. And of course, a little bit of salt and pepper. And you're going to need 4 to 6 ounces of goat cheese. And then have maybe about a cup of breadcrumbs handy, and you may want some fresh herbs just for garnish. Now, there's a sauce that goes with this. So these are the ingredients for the sauce. You're going to need one cup of red wine, one cup of vegetable or chicken stock, and then 1 cup of your favorite marinara sauce. If it's homemade, all the better. Well, whatever is your favorite, that's what you're going to need. So now this is what you're going to need to do. And this is for 4 people. So you could double this, triple it, whatever, however you want to do it. Just remember that it's so simple, so easy, and deliciously flavorable. Now, your eggplant, you want to cut it lengthwise into 8 thin slices. And whatever you have left over, that's not, again, you want 8 thin slices out of that eggplant. Then you dice the remaining eggplant and you put that to the side. And you lay your sliced eggplant out and you salt each slice. And you cover the slices with waxed paper and let them just sit for 15 minutes. Why? Because it's pulling the moisture out of the eggplant. And you'll find out why this is so effective. Now you want to dice your onion, your fennel, your red pepper, your yellow squash, and your zucchini into chunks. And then you take your oil, put it in a sauté pan, a larger pan is the better, add your onion and fennel and cook until they're wilted, and then you add your diced eggplant and peppers, and you sauté them for 5 minutes. And then you will add your yellow squash, your zucchini, sauté them for another 3 minutes. Then you add the garlic, the capers, your chili flakes, and again, the chili flakes, you only use what you would like to have in spice, and your basil, and sauté for 2 or more minutes. Then, for your sauce, you're going to deglaze with white wine and cook until the wine is completely reduced, remove from the heat, and allow it to cool. Now, when your entire mixture is cooled, you finish it by adding your goat cheese and, along with breadcrumbs to bring the mixture together. And the amount needed is going to be determined by the amount of moisture in your vegetable mixture. So if you need a little bit more in the way of breadcrumbs, just have it easy and available for yourself to be able to do. Now, to prepare the roulades, this is what you do. You dry off your eggplant slices. Now, remember, they've been sitting for 15 minutes. Put them on paper towels, dry them off, lay them out. And you divide the filling mixture equally between the slices, and then you roll each slice. If they don't hold together, you can use toothpicks to hold them during cooking. And the roulades, you can prepare these hours ahead of time and refrigerate them. If you're going to have a party, you might want to do this the day before. Refrigerate them. They'll keep beautifully. Now, for your sauce, you want a large, shallow pan. You want to put your red wine, your stock, vegetable or chicken, and your marinara sauce. You want to mix it together. And then you want to put your roulades in the pan with some space between each one. Now, this is important. Your sauce should cover the roulades about 2/3 of the way up. And then you coat the top of the roulades with some olive oil, and you bake them at 400 degrees until they're nice and hot and bubbling. And there should be an internal temperature of 160 degrees, but when it's bubbling, you know it's there. And don't forget, it's going to be 2 roulades per person. You put the cooking sauce over it. And if you've used toothpicks, remember to remove the toothpicks. This is light, this is easy, flavorful, and delicious. Serve it with a glass of wine. You have a wonderful, wonderful summer vegetable dish that everybody will enjoy. And for some people, it might be considered a full meal. For for other people, it's just something that goes very nicely with your favorite cut of meat, whatever you would like to have. Well, we are out of time. This is Donna Sebo, and I want to say it's been a delight having you with me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life has a lot of gifts to offer you. Which one are you going to open up today? The gift of friendship? The gift of self-awareness? How about the gift of self-appreciation? Whichever one you choose to open up today, smile and know there's a lot more waiting for you where that one came from. This is Donna Sebo. Be back here on BBS with you, same time, same place, right here. The Donna Sebo Show. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.